Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1491, air date October 19th, 2024.
Parties seen and heard. How hard is it to get on the ballot in these states? I know you know.
Yeah, Ryan, let me just make sure our guys are also streaming. I think Trey's also streaming. Just want to make sure
he's
started.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Trey, you started the stream, right? Okay, great. Thanks, Trey. Yeah, so Ryan, by the way, thanks for having me. I know it's late for you over there where you are, so I'm glad we reconnected. But here's
for those who
line.
Don't know, I'm over in East Asia.
Oh, you're in East Asia, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, South Korea right now.
Yeah, so one of the things we've been doing, Ryan, as you know, is we're getting a lot of the influencers who've spoken up vehemently against Gaza and Zionism and mobilizing them to really support our election. And as you said, getting on the ballot for a federal election in one state itself is pretty difficult. But to get on it in 50 plus one states is a Herculean task. Typically, this is why the major parties, the election fraud begins because the major parties control even getting onto the ballot. And as you know, I think you said you helped the Ralph Nader campaign out.
I did in Virginia, and it was nearly impossible to get done. And there were some saboteurs in that as well. It's they control who gets on the ballot and who gets in on the debate stage. And if you don't have that, forget it.
Yeah. So I think when we do this discussion, I want to talk about, you said ballot access. I want to talk about this dynamic of this two-headed aspects of the swarm or the establishment. And then I think we should talk about why everyone out there listening should support our candidacy. At minimum, the victory here is to raise people's consciousness to say, fuck you to Zionism. At minimum. Because you have two Zionist candidates, or three, including fucking Joe Stein, another liberal Zionist. But to really illuminate everyone, to get on the ballot is where all the corruption occurs. And typically to get on the ballot, you have to be a major party candidate, or you have to create a quote unquote a third party, which is literally a wing of the other two parties, because they're controlled opposition.
I think in Massachusetts, you have to gather the Dragon Balls. Like, you can't get on the ballot in Massachusetts.
Yeah. So Massachusetts is the toughest state to get on the ballot. So what is it? And by the way, it's not just me getting on the ballot. Remember, I'm sort of one step removed. In the United States system, for the office of president, citizens, typically the idea was bottoms up citizens gather, and they become the electors, and they're slate states of electors, and they have to get signatures for them. So Massachusetts, there's 14 electors, for example. So 14 electors have to run around and say, hey, we like Dr. Shiva. If you vote for us, we're going to vote for him on December 17th. There's no presidential election on November 5th. You're voting for the office of the electors who pledge their vote to me or to Trump or Harris. So in Massachusetts, these people have to get 20,000 signatures in order to get like 10,000 certified. They have to go stand out in the rain and the snow in front of shopping malls, collect, cops come, they kick them out. Then you have to fight with them to say it's their First Amendment right. And a lot of people don't know this. So right there's another corruption, right? They unleash the cops on third or independent candidates, say, oh, you can't collect signatures. You have to say, no, here's a Supreme Court.
Wasn't one of your collectors arrested?
One of
outside,
our collectors,
outside of Walmart or something like that?
Yes, one of our collectors, an electrician who works full-time. By the way, all of our collectors, Ryan, none of them were paid, all full-time working people. Booby fucking Kennedy, the Zionist scumbag who said that the Palestinians are the most pampered people, raised $20 million to pay collectors 10 bucks a signature, right? To collect about 1.5 million. So we got these collectors to go out. So a guy called Nicholas Lupo in Kentucky was out in front of a Walmart collecting signatures. Cops came, and Trump supporters, and obviously there, red state, Thomas Massey's red state, Rand Paul's red state, supposedly place of free speech. And Nicholas said, wait a minute, here's a Supreme Court ruling. During an election campaign, I have the right to collect signatures. They said, no, you don't. Threw him in the cop car, took him to jail. Not only arrested him, but strip searched him, and then cavity searched him, completely demeaning.
What? Why?
Well, it's to demean him, like no third party candidate runs here at all. And then they stole his money, Ryan, and he had to walk 2 hours in the middle of the night back to get his car. We sued them in federal court. They dropped all the charges, okay? We wrote to Thomas Massie and Rand Paul, right? The so-called libertarians. Zippo, silence. So bottom line is we've had to fight our own battles, and we recognize that. As a truly independent candidate, none of these swarm creatures or people acting like they're in the freedom movement will ever come to support you because they're choosing one wing of Zionism or the other. But regardless, in Massachusetts, we had to collect signatures. Then once you collect them, you have to go to every town hall, 350 town halls, get them to certify the signatures. So imagine the operation we had to run, getting signatures, taking them to town halls, bringing them, then driving them back 3 hours back to Boston, then giving them to Secretary of State. We did it with 10 days. That shows the strength of our movement, Ryan, how many people we had. In California, we needed to get 300,000 signatures to be listed, or you need to get 108 electors. Yesterday, we just found out we got the 108 electors so people can vote us in California as a write-in. We're on the ballot in nearly every state except four. So if you go into the ballot and you don't see my name, you can write Dr. Shiva, period. And every write-in vote gets kicked out of the machines and it has to be hand-counted. So in some ways, it's a little more fair. But in Wisconsin, in Washington, you'll see us our name on the ballot. In Massachusetts, in Iowa, in Idaho, in Mississippi, in Minnesota, right? You'll see our names on the ballot. And so we got on our names on the ballot, collecting hundreds of thousands of signatures in 13 states. Historic. Why is it historic? Because I'm a quote unquote naturalized U.S. citizen. This itself is historic, the first naturalized U.S. citizen on the ballot. The argument the numbnuts make is, oh, you're natural, you're not natural born, you can't be on the ballot. Well, it's not true. Natural born is never defined. Furthermore, running for the office is different than holding the office. Only Congress can decide. If the people want me, Congress will have to hold a special session. And they'll have to say, you know what? The people want him. He's in. And that's what the founders wanted, bloodless revolutions. We can have a discussion about that. But the bottom line is everyone in the United States, except four states, can vote for us. This was a huge Herculean effort, Ryan. We have built a national organization. People go see our videos. Who is supporting us? Everyday people. You know how much money we raised, Ryan? Only $50,000. That's it. Maximum. $50,000. We've got on the ballot, there's a Reitner listed in close to 46 states. And exposing the Constitution's flaw on the natural born provision. In New Jersey, after we got on the ballot, Kamala Harris's Democratic Party, we got on the ballot legitimately. We collected the thousands of signatures. They filed a lawsuit in federal court against me saying he can't be on the ballot. Who filed it was an Indian guy working for Kamala Harris. Well, by the way, we don't hire lawyers because they sell you out. We represent ourselves in court. We represented in court. Most judges are fucking stupid. Trust me, most judges are fucking stupid.
Lawyers just look at you as their revenue.
Right. Lawyers just look at you as their revenue. And judges are appointed by who pays them off money. Okay, these are all appointed positions. So we argued that, and the guy said, oh, you're natural born, therefore you cannot be on the ballot. You cannot run. It's absolutely not true. In New Jersey, Ryan, a guy called Roger Calero ran for president under the Socialist Workers Party and was put on the ballot twice. He wasn't even born in the United States. He was a Nicaraguan citizen. He never even got naturalized because the law is that anyone can run for the office. It's a First Amendment right. Congress can decide. Same thing happened with Trump and Trump versus Anderson. Colorado tried to throw him off the ballot, said, you can't run for the office because you're the insurrectionist. Supreme Court swooped in and they said, no, that is for Congress to decide. You're a fucking state. States can only decide who gets on the ballot in state office. If the people want a guy on the ballot, he's on the ballot. So anyway, so first step, think about the organizational structure we've built on an anti-Zionist campaign. On a bold campaign, which said I'm the only fucking candidate who does not suck.
The only Zionist campaign, too. You're the only one.
The only Zionist.
Everybody else takes the knee, including Jill Stein.
Yeah, Jill Stein is a cocksucker, okay? So the Jewish Zionists are the snakes. Trump tells you, I will suck Zionist cock all day long. I will gladly suck it. Give me $100 million, I'll suck it. He's very obvious Zionist cocksucker. Kamala Harris is a little bit. She also says it, okay? But Jill fucking Stein, okay, is a serious Zionist cocksucker. And this is a dynamic, Ryan, to understand, to have the discussion what victory means. So the establishment literally has two heads. And when one head is chopped off, it spawns another head. What do I mean by two heads? It has the obvious establishment, the obvious people who hate the people and work against their interests. In this election, it was started with Trump and Kamala Harris. In the previous elections, it was people like Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, or Trump and Biden. But the establishment always creates the controlled opposition version, who speaks and mimics words from real revolutionaries bottoms up like myself. They literally steal our words. In the beginning of the 2024 race, that was Booby fucking Kennedy. Booby fucking Kennedy was the establishment's not so obvious controlled opposition. But we hammered the fuck out of him. And people said, oh, why are you attacking Booby? He's for health. No, he isn't. He wanted forced vaccination for all Americans. Number one, he was for the lockdowns in March of 2020. And we had to expose this deliberately, right? We lost some followers. But eventually when he came out and he said the Palestinian people are the most pampered people on the planet, he was all out for bombing Gaza. Then people woke up, okay? But it's taken us 4 years to expose that motherfucker. And then he ran
with his tail between them. That's what did him in. There are a lot of people who wanted to support him because they thought he was like the anti-Fauci guy, and they, you know, that's what the spin was, right? And they wanted to support him on a number of things, even like the war in Ukraine. But he was so bad on Gaza. So, and it's almost a cry for help, like, oh, I'm sexually compromised and I went to Epstein's Easter party. He did twice. That they just like, I can't do it. Okay, he's so bad on that issue. Like, how can you pretend to care about children's health while people are being burned alive in tents and there's intentional starvation and babies are being murdered? Like, fuck you. Anybody supporting Israel, go fuck yourself. And that's the thing about this election. Like, if you, especially if you don't live in a swing state, whoever's going to win is going to win. Doesn't matter. So why not give a big fuck you vote? And just vote for Dr. Shiva as a way of saying, I'm not voting for a Zionist.
Yeah, and why not? Ryan, people need to understand one thing. I you know, invite everyone to check my entire history since I was 4 years old, since I was 17. I've been a bottoms-up activist against all this shit. You know, there's a picture of me on the steps of MIT burning the South African flag. Because I don't know if you know, South Africa, apartheid regime in South Africa and Zionism were like this together. They built nuclear bombs together. And Nelson Mandela was a Zionist.
You see that green map on my door? I made a film going over some of that. The only reason that South Africa didn't get nukes from Israel is because of the price. It had nothing to do with the morality or any anti-proliferation treaty. I think it was Israel never signed. Like, yeah, and they had a racial apartheid until the 90s. And then it got, I mean, on paper. And supposedly it's been rid of, but whatever. In Israel, I wouldn't even call it an apartheid. It's worse than apartheid because it's not.
Let me just share, Ryan, if you can just bring this picture up. I just shared it on my screen. I think you can bring it up. So just to give you people my history, that's me burning the South African flag on the steps of MIT.
Space.
All right. That's when I was 17 years old. And I had learned at the age of 17, this concept of the not so obvious establishment, Ryan. And Jesse Jackson, you may remember, was the Robert Kennedy, the Bernie Sanders of the time. He was being used to sucker college students to vote from, well, he was building a so-called own movement, like declared
the other rainbow coalition before that was gay.
Exactly. And then he gave all of his votes to Kennedy. I mean, sorry, to Mondale.
Yeah.
And even at that time, it was Reagan versus Mondale. And I'll take this away. It was Reagan versus Mondale. And they said, this is the most important election of our time. And then this guy, Jesse Jackson, was out there riling up all the student votes, the radicals, the anti-establishment. And at the last minute, he gives a speech and he goes, we got to vote for Mondale because Reagan is so bad. Well, that's the same thing Booby fucking Kennedy just did. But I figured this reality that the establishment has the obvious head of the snake. And it always has a not so obvious head, which speak the word of anti-establishment. But at the last minute, they sucker people into the swarm. And that's what Booby fucking Kennedy was. So since we chopped his head off, they spawned Jill Stein now. You see how that works? It's literally like a salad.
That was kind of what Bernie Sanders was to take votes away from Ron Paul. Like, no, here's the anti-establishment guy. Like, what do you, he voted 93% the same as Hillary Clinton. What are you smoking?
Right. Exactly. So everyone, I think, Ryan, needs to understand it's almost a systems physics of politics of how the swarm works. And by the way, everyone should watch Shattered the Swarm, the video, to understand how the few control the many. But this is an opportunity. The victory here, Ryan, is for people to understand the dynamics we're talking about and for people to literally say, fuck you to Zionism. Because the reality is they're literally doing what we call in marketing A-B testing. Which fucking candidate can deceive the American people more? So Kamala Harris is one marketing vehicle, or Trump. And whoever can deceive the American people more, at the last minute, they'll flip the votes. And we know how that works on the machines. But everything you're seeing now is ballot access is a way they keep riffraffs like me out. But they failed. We made it on the ballot in multiple states. So this is dangerous. Then the second way they have it is they create the not so obvious establishment. Well, we fucked over Kennedy. Now they have Jill Stein trying to bring black people in, asking, you know, dangling reparations for them. Okay. She's completely a Zionist, as we talked about. It was Jill Stein who banned Cynthia McKinney from the Green Party and called her anti-Semite when Cynthia McKinney, after she, I understand, spoke to you and learned that it was Israel who was involved in 9/11. So you see Jill Stein, and if you look at all her policies against Israel, cease fire now. Well, we're saying my policy is very different. We should end the occupation of Zionism in America. Yeah. And if anything, Ryan, we should arm the Palestinian people. The U.S. military, if we truly cared about freedom, we should be fighting on the side of the Palestinian people to destroy Israeli Zionism. That's what really needs to happen if we are truly a country that's dedicated to Christ. And this is what I posed to Mike Adams in that interview, because Mike's been sort of pussyfooting around Trump. You know, he would do an interview with me, endorse me, and the next day he'd say, oh, Trump is better than Harris. So I had to have a lot of philosophical discussions with Mike on this, discussions of morality. And so in the last interview, Mike got to the point where he said, okay, if Trump doesn't go against the genocide in Gaza, I will tell all my followers to vote for you, you know, for the presidential race. You know, in Texas, you can write me in. So that's a big advancement. So that's a raising in consciousness. And that's the victory here, Ryan. So everyone listening, the victory here is you. It's not me. It's not Ryan. It's you saying, there's a fucking guy over here who has all the credentials, is a true American, who's been fighting the establishment all his fucking life, understands the dynamics, has been educating people, is always right on the money in every fucking position.
Yeah, you hear all the time people say, I wish there was someone that was against these wars and this spending and the deficit and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, but there is. And there has been before. But you guys never vote for that person. It's always this contest of like, well, these guys are on TV and they're on the debate stage and I'll waste my vote unless it's one of these two. And it's perpetually you're stuck voting for the lesser of two evils. And the whole reparations thing is so stupid. You had 55 years of Reconstruction. I sleep on this. It says, fuck Lincoln. To let people know, everyone is saying how bad it is in Gaza. And it is. And I think the numbers are a lot higher than they're admitting. But well, let's take the 40,000. Let's add another 10,000. Still hasn't caught up to the number of civilians Lincoln murdered.
Yeah, and I think what happened in many of these movements was they were taken over. And the goal, Ryan, is this election, if anything, it gives people an opportunity to raise their consciousness. And we only need about 3 to 5% of people. Then it's over. To understand this dynamic of the obvious establishment, the obvious Diana Shills in this case, and then the Jill Steins and the booby fucking Kennedys. They create these people to keep people in
thrall. Let me ask you some obvious questions, all right? We had a horrible hurricane, hundreds of thousands homeless. You know, I think they're getting 750 or something. Would you have used federal funds to help the hurricane victims or send it to Ukraine and Israel?
I think you know the answer to that, Ryan. Look, yeah, we have a lot of volunteers, Ryan, who are in Watauga County and in the Boone, Asheville area, okay? Mm-hmm. Our volunteers, you know, a guy called Eustace Conway was out there with his bulldozers. He lives off the land helping people, you know, get their roads done, okay? Our volunteers in the middle of that helped people and also are out there right now handing out, you know, our cards. We have these cards which says, you know, save yourself, you know, they're killing you, shatter the swarm. So, and in North Carolina, we also got on the ballot. It's very difficult. You have to collect 500 signatures to get on the ballot, even as a write-in. our volunteer there, Sonia Frederick, again, a bottoms up, you know, she's a entrepreneur, a woman who runs a house cleaning place. All of our volunteers work their butts off. So I want really people to understand, everyone in our fucking movement is one of you. They work for a fucking living. Go look at all of Trump's volunteers. He doesn't have volunteers.
It's like Harris is it. I'm from a middle-class family.
Yeah, he's bullshit. People need to understand something about Kamala Harris. She comes from a Tamil Brahmin family. The same people, India has a caste system. Her friends, her mother would spit on, or her ancestors would spit on my mother as she went to the well to gather water. They would call her a pig, you know, the N-word, called Shudra in India, okay? So you're looking at a woman who actually grew up in an elite Brahmin family. When I was growing up in New Jersey, mowing lawns and playing baseball, she was in Montreal studying French and hanging out with the elites. She doesn't have the American experience as an immigrant. I do. Trump doesn't have the experience of being a true American bottoms up. He was given everything. His father was a slumlord. Trump got put in.
He started with a small $1 million.
Yeah, right. Just like Jared Kushner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Jared.
Well, Kushner. Charles Kushner, too. I mean, that's a dynasty, the whole family.
Yeah. And by the way, my last 3 years of high school, Ryan, my parents moved to a Zionist town called Livingston, public school. I never went to private school. That's where the Kushners are from. Chris Christie was my catcher on our baseball team. Okay. I used to play baseball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he did, back then, could he cover a whole plate?
Well, no, I think he was a little bit skinnier than he was class president. But the point is,
he did the throw the first pitch. It was less pathetic than some people, but he went after the Kushners.
Yes, and that's why Jared had a vendetta against him.
Rich Gate, you remember that? I guess you're familiar with all this.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so people know what happened with the Kushners. Jared Kushner's father hired a prostitute to blackmail his own brother-in-law.
Yeah.
That's what Kushner is about. So everyone needs to understand these people are not your people. They fucking hate you. People need to understand these people do not like you. They view you as vermin. They view just the way they view Palestinians as vermin. They view you as vermin. You are just a vehicle to acquire land. So when you look at what's going on in, be it in Middle East or Ukraine, Ryan, I don't think I've shared with you this analysis. The ultimate goal has always been Russia. Russia has $75 trillion worth of natural resources. The United States has $40 trillion, right? Iran has around $30 trillion. And we're talking about gold, diamonds, natural gas, oil. Russia has a 95 quadrillion cubic feet of natural gas. So the elites the 1900s have wanted to rape Russia. In 1978, Zbigniew Brzezinski laid out the plan to rape Russia. The goal would be they would split up Russia into the Eurasia part. In the east, the middle would become the Serbian part and the right would become the Far East part. This was a plan laid out. And as this plan proceeded, starting the Carter administration, they put in Gorbachev, the US CIA, and his job was to dismantle the Soviet Union, which got executed. George Bush came in and he said, I will never go east. NATO will never go 1 inch east of West Germany. Well, they captured
that was James Baker's promise. Yep.
Exactly. So they captured, the goal is to surround Russia. And then the final step was a Maidan revolution in 2014 with Condoleezza Rice had laid out. And McCain and Obama and Hillary Clinton made sure they installed their dictator, a neo-Nazi, in Western Ukraine, which was completely antithetical to these, you know, very old Russians who had fought Nazis. Remember, it was the Russians who won the war against, they won World War II, 25 million Russians died. So in the soul of the Russian people is still the memory of their forefathers fighting Nazism. So, but Russia has always been the goal of Western imperialism. So in my view is, it is not just coincidental. You have the war on the towards the east of Russia through Ukraine, but you also have it coming up the middle through the Middle East. And the goal was to destabilize Russia and have Russia fighting on two fronts. So on the one
CIA front, sponsored both Chechen wars.
Exactly.
And there was Georgia in 2008, the South Ossetia conflict. I'll mention before we get just going back to the Kushner bribing his own brother-in-law. That happened because his sister and his brother got mad because he made these subsidiaries in their name so he could do illegal campaign finances for Governor McGreevy. The governor of New Jersey is who is in charge of appointing the head of the Port Authority that divvies out all the contracts in New York and New Jersey for ports and things. And they had recently moved the World Trade Center's property from the Port Authority over to Larry Silverstein later, but it almost went to Kushner. And the head of the PA ended up being the former president of AIPAC. But had Kushner not gone to prison, it probably would have been him. But that's what he was doing. And McGreevy himself is sleeping with an Israeli national in a closeted homosexual relationship named
Golden. Who's that? Who was sleeping with the Israeli national, right?
McGreevy, Governor McGreevy, New Jersey, was sleeping with Golan Sepel, who was introduced to him on a trip to Israel by Charles Kushner.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up.
Yeah. Like, I think, Ryan, when you look at, there are infinite number of stories like this. The everyday American, the everyday citizen has no idea that these people are thugs, they're organized criminals, and the game that they're playing is something that you and I cannot even fathom. So the naivete among everyday people is quite extraordinary. And fundamental to that naivete is making sure that we, as the masses, always put our attention to look above to them. And they've developed these actors. Trump is a fucking actor. He was installed by Wilbur Ross after his last failure, his last bankruptcy. One of the things also, Ryan, people need to understand, you know, casinos, whether you know it or not, are money laundering.
Yeah, I know.
They're all money laundering. People pay cash there. And they use it to launder. So Trump was running money laundering.
They all worked with Trump through Atlantic City and the Kushners. I made a film called Trump's Zionist Ball and Chain, and which is, if they really wanted to go after Trump for criminality or just to destroy him, all they'd have to do is take info from that film. The problem is they can't because they're guilty of the same type of things. And it's kind of like, if you tell on me, I tell on you.
Yeah, so,
Oh, he's a racist. Oh, come on. He's definitely worked with mobsters. There's so much damning evidence, and it's in that film, and it's all of them. It's like all the people there in the Jersey government. It's just endless corruption, money laundering, you name it. They're working with organized crime. That's just how real estate is in New York and New Jersey. You almost have to do it. It's rotten to the bottom, and Chris Christie, to his credit, was one of the few who actually prosecuted some of them. He was guilty of some minor stuff himself, but that's how it is. You got to pick your poison up there with those Yankees. Nobody's honest.
What's interesting is you use the word real estate, and if you take the real estate business on a global scale, there. You know, you and I and others, we do real estate. We work hard. We get some money. If you want to buy a property, go to a bank, and we have to follow laws, and we have to do titles and deeds and all this shit. That's one type of real estate. Another type of real estate is a much larger level where you get huge loans, which Trump has done. Trump has got loans with Soros, right? Or Jared Kushner, when he came to Harvard in Somerville, Cambridge here, his father gave him a shitload of money when bought a bunch of slum. He was a slumlord when he was going to Harvard.
That's how your brother, same thing. And right. They had to bribe Harvard to get them in there.
Right. Exactly. $2.5 million. The other way that people do real estate in a much more blatant way, which is the way that it's always been done, is through outright genocide. You create a political ideology, some type of ideology, manifest destiny, Nazism, Zionism, Brahmanism, right? Where you create an ideology which says one set of people are just better than the other set of people. The small, a finite set of people are better than the other. And you use that ideology to rationalize and justify expropriation of land. And this has been done for a very long time. This was what was a base of use to butcher the Indians, right? Or butchering the Palestinians. So a couple of days ago,
The Bureau of Indian Affairs was transferred from the War Department to the Department of Interior. The head of the BIA was John McCain for a long time. And the whole thing was set up to swindle land from Native Americans and royalty rights and so on to push them into abject poverty and create a dependency on the federal government. That's the goal. And so what happens is if they can't sell the land, they'll lease it for 99 years. Or some bullshit like that. They do tiny Hong Kongs all over the U.S. to Navajo, Diné, whatever you want to call them, and Hopi, etc. So they put the nuclear waste under the Shoshone territory in their sacred mountains. We're like, where are we going to put our nuclear waste? Indian reservation.
I said, well, I think
I get triggered on that
and
stuff.
The way they, and the way they justified it, Ryan, was they had these elites had, or the swarm had blacks fearful of the white settlers and the Native Americans. The Native Americans were fearful of the black settlers and the whites and so on. It was dividing and ruling. But they had a political ideology which said they were better than the others. If you can just share this, Ryan. So I, as a joke, people think it's a real book. You can see what the title says.
It says, it looks like
buy real estate with no money down by Jared Kushner and Bibi Netanyahu. And it says, you know, number one New York Times bestseller. By the way, you know, did you know the New York Times bestseller?
Wait, do you remember when what Jared Kushner said about Gaza?
Yeah.
How it was nice beachfront property.
Beachfront property. They are already starting to advertise and sell the land as they're moving up southern Lebanon. So I think.
Fuck that guy with a chainsaw.
Yep. If people understand that this is ultimately about land grab, Kushner, the soy boy, wants to be a trillionaire. So this is just a vehicle. And Trump is just their fucking puppet. You give Trump $100 million, he's quite happy. He'll, you know, give him some prostitutes. He'll go do whatever the fuck he wants to do. All of these people are running a business, but the large business is land grab. And the biggest land grab now is Russia. So you start a war in Ukraine to attempt to weaken Russia, and that's failed. But then you use Netanyahu, you give him some land, greater Israel. But the goal is to draw Iran into this conflict. Because once you draw Iran into this conflict, Russia will have to fight on two fronts. That's what this is about. So Putin has been playing this very, very, you know, whatever game he's been playing to keep Iran in abeyance in some ways. But the goal is to have...
He sort of did this years ago by attacking Latakia in Syria, which forced Russia to get involved in Syria when they really couldn't afford it.
Yes, and they set up some bases there as a result of that. But
we have a Shekel chat from KGB Josh that says, welcome, Doc. I've been betrayed by my friends and family for criticizing Zionism and talking about bottoms-up revolutionary movements. Where there is one, there is enough. I will not back down. Well, good for you, Josh.
Yes. Yeah, so I think let's talk about what we consider victory. You know, after Mike came out and said he's going to support us, people are unfollowing him and they say, oh, you can't, Adams. You know, Trump is going to lose. And because of this, not voting for one of these people is a vote for the other. Let's talk about this. This is the mental brainwashing that they've done to dumb people down. So basically, the elites, again, have this operation that you have to vote for one or the other. And by the way, this book, I'm going to have Jared Kushner. Right, I hope he comes to the book signing. We're going to host at a building here in Cambridge. I bet you Booby Kennedy's going to steal this and write the book. That's what he does. He steals my material. He'll probably go write it. So we have to copyright the image. But anyway, this is what it is. Genocide, how to buy real estate with no money down.
Is that Gaza in the background? It's all red.
Yeah, it's all Gaza in the background. Yeah, devastated. Okay.
So I'm red, green, colorblind. So it's
that's what it is. It's Gaza with the red. That way the yellow pops. You know, I do graphic design, so I'm trying to find the right color.
That looks good.
Yeah.
Logan colors. There you go.
Yeah,
the yellow brother.
So I think if people really understand the reality of this is a land grab, it's very easy to understand. We are vermin to them. They hate you. So once you understand that, everything you see on media, everything that's it's all in theatrics to distract us. And so the big distraction here at the end of the day is, will you as an individual, you as a human being with a finite lifespan, will you at some point in your development, as Josh has come to a point where you say, I came into this world. I didn't create this world, but I can decide what the world becomes in my own local way or in a collective and global way. And when you make that decision, the establishment, Ryan, only gives you two options. Oh, vote for this person or file a lawsuit. They don't teach you that you can build a bottoms-up movement, a revolutionary movement. And that is what I learned at that age of 17. And I never, and my journey, Ryan, has been to figure out how do you build these revolutionary movements, the systems dynamics, the science. And that's what we've created with our movement for truth, freedom, and health. And it's manifest now in my running for president. But we have no illusions. We have no illusions. We know they cheat. They stole my election in 2020 for Senate. Totally stole it. But because I ran, Ryan, we exposed so much shit. We exposed the backdoor portal into Twitter. We exposed all the flipping of elections. We filed multiple lawsuits. We elevated people's consciousness. When we decided to run for president, we knew we would go through that same process. We told people, even if we win the election for president, they'll try to steal it. The real victory here is you. So our slogan on our cards that we hand out, it says, save yourself. It doesn't say vote. It says vote, but it leads with save yourself. And save yourself means the victory here is you as a human being raising your consciousness to understand none of these fuckers is coming to save you. So if you look at the card that I have, and I'll just put it up here, you can bring it up. It says, save yourself, vote or write in Dr. Shiva. But it leads with save yourself, Ryan, if you can bring that up. And yeah, the back of the card, it's an open source card. It's the 3.5. It says, they're killing you, shatter the swarm. The messaging, it took us a while to get this very simple. Cost of living is going up. Lifespan is going down. And we invite people to go look at Shatter the Swarm. If you scan that in, it goes to the site called shatterthesworm.com. And everyone with their family should watch this video. In about 10 minutes, right? 15 minutes, you learn how the few control the many. Now, that's the intention here. The intention here is to elevate people's consciousness to understand no one is coming to fucking save you. No one. And my running for president, to the extent which I'm fully qualified to hold the office, I have all the quote unquote credentials, you know, 4 degrees from MIT, inventor, and you can brand me, and we do it without any PR company, okay? But people know not only the establishment skills I have, but I've been an activist. So, but that the goal is you. The goal is, do you want to save yourself? And if you want to save yourself,
well, you're just a different level too. Like I've heard on this show, we've talked philosophy and things, and it's just, you can use this presidential run as a vehicle, a didactic video vehicle, I guess, you know, to get people to raise their consciousness, raise their awareness and more information. But it, without even, like, we know how rigged it is and we know how, what the chances are of winning, but as a didactic video or a vehicle, it's very, very good and very prudent in that sense. But, you know, yeah. I interview a lot of people, a lot of analysts and things. You don't get people talking about systems theory. You don't really get people talking about solutions other than just vote harder. You know, it's sad. Of 300 million people, 330 million, whatever the pop is really in America, that we get two old guys arguing about golf in the debate stage, or this cackling hyena who, you know, all she does, she's like, fair hope, dreams, and aspirations, just a bunch of adjectives that mean the same thing. Says nothing. No one even knows what her policies are. Like, that's the best we got of this giant population. That's the most intelligent people. No way. They're puppets. They're there to appeal to the lowest common denominator. It's just two different brands, almost like market testing, like Trump and Kamala, like which one will do better with the masses. And that's the problem with low information voters. The more they dumb down the masses, the worse the leadership's going to be, because you can circumvent intelligent people because there just aren't enough of them to matter when you're, you know, just tallying up totals. Some dickweed that can't name three countries' vote counts as much as mine.
and I think, Ryan, what we have created and is, I want to share with people, since you're talking about policies, if I may, that the journey that I've been on is to really uncover how these systems of power work. Number one, what is a system that enables them to maintain power against us? And then to educate people on that. So one of the talents that I've been fortunately been in some ways it's God-given or worked at it very hard is to take very complex things, distill it to diagrams using art, you know? I used to teach a course at MIT called Systems Visualization. I would have become an artist if I could do this stuff, you know? But it is these ability to take very complex information, which is what the elites do. They keep it to their finite set of people. I think you went to William and Mary at MIT or Harvard, right? They just teach their people. But the idea of taking complex knowledge and distributing it to the masses is where the revolutionary work needs to occur. So if people watch that Shatter the Swarm video, I mean, you can go to that at many levels of intellectual discussion. At a deep level, it's system science. At another level, it explains to every person how you're being fucked, period. But with a lot of depth. One of the
popular videos I ever did was called How They Fuck You One-on-One. I changed it to How They Bleep You. But I was just going over the, like, how you get fucked. And they're arrogant. They think people can't understand. But think about the Ron Paul movement, which was other things. It was Bill Still and other people, too. But overnight, all these people understood the Federal Reserve system and the money supply and interest. Da, 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 da. Something that you never thought would be exciting. Oh, let's talk about interest rates. But it was. If you can distill it down and get people pumped up and realize, hey, this is why your life's so expensive. This is why you can't afford a house. This is what you need to understand these things. And they made it cool to understand the Fed.
Yeah.
It kind of after that.
Well,
there's a lot of subjects like that, that if you could distill it down and get in front of enough people, if we had enough reach, I think they are hungry for that information and they can understand that. You don't have to be.
Well, not only that, Ryan,
MIT grad or whatever, you can do this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at
explained right,
if you look at the history of humankind, we used to sit around a fire and we used to hear long form stories. You know, my grandmother growing up in a village, she would tell me these long stories, 2-3 hours, they're deep, you know, mm-hmm. and they would go on and on and on. Why do people like to watch Joe Rogan podcast for 2 hours? Because people actually, fuck him, but people like long form. Edward Bernays is the one who created these short form videos, 30-second videos to manipulate people. But the reality is most humans are very intelligent, but it is deliberately the elites distill stuff down to dumb them down.
I'm so glad you said that, because the pushback is always, they're too stupid to listen to anything.
Wrong. Bullshit.
No,
it's bullshit.
No, it's not offered. They want that. They don't. You and I guess we're kind of in the same generation. You know, there used to be like Liberty Pen, William F. Buckley and Thomas Sowell talking 30 minutes about, where did that go? But people tuned in. They want to hear that. And like Bill Moyers, they do a long documentary on something. Yep. It was there. It was
the Dick Cavett show, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It was desired and people would listen to it.
Yep.
It would do long form. The very, very beginning of the History Channel before it became like Sharks and Hitler, they had real stories and people would listen to it. I mean, I'll hear people on all, they're like, hey, teach me about the Punic Wars or whatever. I heard you talking about that. It was very interesting. Or the Civil War or whatever. And I'm like, okay, how much time you have? You know, and they really enjoy this. They want that. They do have that attention span, but it's this sort of Sumner Redstone MTV TikTok heads or whatever that's pulling it away. But it's a myth. They say, oh, so that's, everyone's dumb and they just like the flashy stuff. I go, no, they do like the flashy stuff, but they don't really have, they don't even know where the long form is because
well,
you get censored.
The human being has three levels of intelligence. They have the instinctive intelligence, which is that of like the reptilian brain, right? Which you can, you know, throw little TikTok videos and throw a little, like the monkeys, like little flashy things, right? There is another level of intelligence, the intellectual intelligence, which likes to use logic and rational science, you know, mathematical equations. And then there's the highest form of intelligence, which is intuition. In the Eastern systems of, you know, yoga and meditation, they call that the superconsciousness. Now you can decide as a teacher or as a society which one that you want to focus on and elevate people. So those in power, the swarm, are operating on a much higher level of intelligence. They understand system science, but to the masses of people, they want to give them stupid shit, and they want to convince them that you want stupid shit, and then they educate a section of the intelligentsia in very smart people who know graphic design and advertising and psychology to create garbage advertising to keep people in that 30-second mode. But when I did that swarm video, if people go to Shatter the Swarm and they go through that, we've created a series of videos called Get Off the Plantation. All free, no charge, nothing. But you go through that, there's a climate change whiteboard. It really explains to you the systems of the climate change scam, which Jill Stein is behind, which is to put you on the carbon tax plantation. We teach people through, again, a nice set of drawings, how the healthcare system works and how to actually create the solution. These people call GPOs and PBMs. We teach people what the educational system's like, how the banking system works. And people love them. They have the most number of views in spite of the shadow banning. So our campaign, our movement, and I think the broad mass of people, the real victory here is, do you want to break from this bullshit. So when people say winning, you can't win, you have to slap them upside the head. You fucking idiot. What do you mean winning? Winning is not saying you're going to keep being in the state of a, you know, reduced state of being a human being. You want to elevate yourself. So we're not here really here to convince anyone, Ryan, because we know if we get that 3 to 5%, it's over. So everyone listening, I think as we talked about before, we want to encourage everyone to go vote or write in Dr. Shiva for various reasons. Number one, it shows that you have a certain moral integrity. You have raised your consciousness that you recognize that winning has nothing to do with Trump or Kamala, because they're both going to suck, make you suck Zionist cock. What's that?
It's a red triangle.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay.
It's become my favorite shape all of a sudden.
Yeah. So I think we have to define winning, Ryan. And I wanted to do that in this podcast with you, or in this video live with you, to educate people what is winning. Winning is not thinking that one guy who's going to fuck you over is going to do it a little bit less than the other person. You need to stop doing that, right? You need to say it doesn't fucking matter because you're both going to get fucked anyway. And all those people voted for Trump thinking he was going to better than Hillary. He's the one who conducted the biggest war, the war on the American people. He saved Big Pharma. He locked the country down. He didn't do shit for Julian Assange. He didn't do shit for those January 6th. So all the illusions that you have are right in front of you. And now he's telling
all you. All his people are getting censored, and he didn't say a word until he got kicked off in YouTube.
Exactly. And now he's recruited a
president. Yeah.
And now he's recruited a South African apartheid fucking no inventor, Elon fucking Musk, who's talking free speech, but he completely destroys free reach. Okay. And he's his latest doofus that he's promoting, along with the monies from using the monies from Sheldon Adelson's wife, Miriam Adelson. So he openly said that if you say shit against Jews, he's gonna throw you in prison. Oh, so the MAGA people running out there, oh, Kamala is going to throw us in the gulag. Well, so he'll also throw you. The only way out of this is you. Save yourself, raise your consciousness. And by voting for Shiva for president, you're actually doing that. And it may be scary for a lot of people, Ryan. It's actually scary for people. Oh, my God, I'm throwing away my vote. You got to get over that fear. It's really fear that they have. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm going off the plantation. And yes, it is lonely initially, because you're leaving the plantation of thinking. But once you leave that, the good news is we've created a global movement now. We have leaders in every state.
Think about it, about moving the needle, too. If one of them loses because they are such a Zionist cocksucker and they lose a swing state, a lot of people said, I can't in good conscience vote for someone that, you know, is giving money to people burning babies alive. Pretty low bar to set, right? Then, yeah, you deserve to lose. I say, man, maybe I should have moved my positions a little bit. If they're just trying to win and that's all they care about, it does move the needle some. But the bigger picture, long run, like, you're gonna have Harris or Trump. That's gonna happen. If you're looking for, you know, a hero and a political solution with the way the media and all the things are, you're delusional. You really have to improve. You can fight that, you know, and try to improve it, but we have how many days? It's not really going to change. It's one of those two. They're both Zionists. It is what it is. You can work on local and other things, but instead of fighting that political arena, like, we are never going to have social or political issues resolved until we deal with the problem of the press. That's one of the things. That's one of the meta issues. And you have to really raise your consciousness and take care of yourself. Do you know how to make money? Do you know how to this and that? And that's why I think they're so hell-bent against these influencers that it's like, okay, vote whatever every 4 years. But, you know, most of your life isn't November 5th. You need to know how to take care of yourself. You need to have weapons against the Matrix and stuff. And that's why they go after people who are in the press that do go against the normative crap. And so, like the Tate brothers, for example, or Julian Assange, who you brought up earlier, they took 12 years of his life, 12 years of either in an embassy or in jail, falsely accused him of rape, crap like that. These guys in Romania, they've taken millions of dollars from them. They put them in and out of jail and stuff. There's no evidence of what they've been accused of either. And that's the problem, too. Like, if they get their head pops up a little bit too hard, like Dr. Ron Paul, they called him a racist on national television. Ron Paul, like the anti-collectivist, they said racist newsletters. They smear you, they defame you. Then they use legalese. They go after you, false accusations. That's the kind of crap. It's so look, when Julian's out, though, and I think within a month or so, probably after the U.S. election, the Tate brothers will be exonerated, too. You got to support people with reach and alternative media, too. I think that's going to have more impact than like trying to vote third party and win, because we're not going to win until we fix the media issue. But I agree with you, like, well, in running for it, we get all this attention and get the message out and you get that didactic, you know, vehicle, like I was saying earlier, that's worth it. But man, people gotta get over like, oh man, I wish we could just vote in all the right people and have their little fantasy list of how it ought to go. That's not going to happen until you have reach.
So Ryan, I think if you look at a legislature from the concept of why it was created, go back to basic governance, right? In ancient village community systems, they had little councils like the American Indian system or even the Dravidian system. The local leaders would get together. And in many of these cultures, it was women, matriarchal societies who were the leaders, and they weren't into the governance part. The men were, you know, the warriors. But it was local representative collective systems. So the leaders, some of them had benevolent kings, but the leader reflected the consciousness of the people, right? So the leaders reflect the consciousness of people. Your representatives reflect your consciousness. So people need to put a mirror up to their fucking face. Why the fuck do I have these kind of fucking morons there? And the leaders reflect the consciousness of the people. So when people,
well, the old system, they'd base it on merit. So you would not have someone in charge of the everything. You would have chiefs, plural. And so the old guy that's seen the droughts and the floods and all the seasons and stuff, that person tackles agriculture. The person mm-hmm. that's been fishing his whole life tells you where to go and when to fish and where da da da. He's in charge of that. The people that build houses build the houses. Same thing, like when you got on an airplane, you don't vote for the pilot. You want credentialism. You want someone that's practiced and knows how to fly and knows aerodynamics, you know, all that. That's who flies the plane. When you're on a boat, there's a captain that all they do is nautical stuff. You know, they know how to
right.
do boats, but you don't have that guy then tell you what to do on other things. There's specialists and it's based on merit. I'm good at this because I've done it my whole thing. That's who should be in charge of that thing. But for the president, we just let every idiot vote for someone who's in charge of all foreign policy, all this economic, like, what is going on? And we never get anyone, Ryan, that's really proven themselves in the real world. It's always professional politicians.
If you just go back to what you talked about with the president, there was a time when the role of the president was to be someone who came up with some level of connection to doing some vocation that he actually did.
Right.
You know, maybe he was an architect. Maybe I'm talking about he actually knew sine and cosine and how to draw. I mean, he actually did the work. Okay. And because he had gone, so if you take any field of endeavor as an engineer, as a plumber, as a teacher, and you're good, really good at that, whatever you're good at, you start having great respect for other people in other professions because you know what it takes to be a really good engineer. You have to do the work and you have to know it. So I would never go to another electrician and say, oh, let me start wiring my house up together. You have respect because as an engineer, I know what it takes to get to a certain level. So mm-hmm. when you have people who actually have a vocation and they've learned it, and that was the idea of the founders of the United States, to have that sensibility, then you go and appoint people. So when you're going looking at your Secretary of State, you say, what, does that guy really, does he know history? What does he know? Right. You go through this process and you may not know it, but you have great respect for them. What's happened is the way you get a cabinet position now is how much money did you donate to the campaign? Yep. Wilbur Ross was Trump's Secretary of Commerce or for Kamala Harris or Biden. So this can only happen. The fundamental change can only happen if you raise your consciousness. Let's repeat that again. The change, the people that you have running us, the people in governance literally reflect the state of consciousness of us. And so therefore, people need to look at the society and the kinds of people they're allowing them to govern them and put a mirror to their face. And that's what our campaign is allowing people to do. When was the last time you had someone like me, you know, I've been working day and night and you'll talk to our volunteers. I don't even have time to shave this morning, you know, We literally, it's 4 a.m. to 12 noon. I mean, we have a volunteer meeting, which is going on right now. 200 volunteers. I'll be running that meeting. So you don't have time to look good all the time when you're actually fucking doing the work. You see? So it's time that we started having respect for ourselves, Ryan. So if you work hard, have respect for yourself. Not someone like a Kim Kardashian or a fucking Kanye West or a P fucking Diddy or all these people. Who, and by the way, you know, Kanye West called me about a year ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, Dr. Shiva, I heard so much about you. I'm thinking of running for president. I want to steal everything you know, and I want to learn everything. I said, great, Kanye. I said, you need to fucking learn some politics. Come on down. You're supposed to come down. He never showed up because Nick Fuentes told him not to show up. Okay. All right. Another fucking fool.
The guy is celebrating Sinwar's death, by the way.
Piece What's that? Yeah, he's celebrating. Right. So the issue is, I ask everyone, this election gives you an opportunity to look at the quality of people that are around our campaign, the quality of the discussion that's taking place. And for your own fucking children, do you want to raise your goddamn consciousness? Because your leaders are going to reflect you. Look at Trump's moral integrity. Look at Kamala Harris's nonsense. What does a woman accomplish? And look at what I've accomplished my whole life. It takes a lot to do.
She's proven. To get ahead, you got to give some head.
Right. Exactly. But you have to start. I tell people you have to start valuing yourself.
Yep.
Value the basic things you do to survive. These people have to do shit. And so when you vote for Dr. Shiva, you're not voting for me. You're voting for your fucking self. And you're saying, I do not support these values. I'm willing to say, yeah, it doesn't matter which one of them gets elected. But I know in 2024, I made a decision to vote for this guy because he represents my values. So if you're a fucking Christian, how the fuck can you vote for Zionists? Christ would have whipped the shit out of these Zionists.
In fact, he literally did take a whip and flip the table on the Pharisees.
Yeah. So your own preachers, and we've had a lot of people in our movement go question their pastors, Ryan, in like the Bible Belt and leave their congregations. Because, and that is a victory, man. That's a fucking win. If one person does that, that's a win. Because they're going to affect their whole community, let's say, in South Texas. So the win here is 10 people who understand and vote for what we're talking about, vote for our campaign and endorse us, are saying, I vote. There is a guy out there, like you said. He's anti-war. He's anti-Zionist. He worked his butt off. He came bottoms up. Well, he's fucking here. What the fuck are you waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, you go through the checklist. Like, you didn't fall for the COVID hysteria. Don't want any wars in Ukraine or Gaza or Lebanon or Iran or anywhere else, you know, and all the trillions of dollars saved from that. Go through every issue. And it's like, yeah, here's all the things I want. I wish somebody was running that believed in all this. There is. You know, there has been. Tried very hard to get you on the ballot. They make it almost impossible.
So Ryan, I would like you to tell all your followers to get out there and vote for us as what you said, a fuck you vote. You know, you have to verbalize it and say it. Please articulate
that. I think so. I think you should vote Dr. Shiva to say fuck you to the system and fuck you to Zionism. Because look, it doesn't really matter. You can say, oh, well, so-and-so is worse than so-and-so. Maybe. Let's say, especially if you don't even live in a swing state, so your vote doesn't matter. So why not vote your conscience?
And by the way, Ryan, we just got on the ballot for write-in in California. It takes a lot. We have to get 108.
Right. If you live in California, it's going to Harris. It doesn't matter what you do. So why not vote for Dr. Shiva? Just to tell Trump, no, you don't get my vote. You're for Zog. Eat a dick.
You know, that's a great, great message, because you look at Massachusetts, it's always 60-40, 60-40, 60-40, Democrat, Republican.
Yeah, imagine it's like the worst one outside of D.C. It's deep blue. Yeah. Your vote
imagine
doesn't
if
matter.
That number was 60-20 to Trump. That's going to send a fucking message.
Yep, and it
so
could.
This is about sending a message. But more importantly, I want people to look into their own souls. You live a finite amount of time. The decisions you make affect your own consciousness and those around you. And that's what this is about, Ryan. You know, for Mike Adams, he finally said it's about morality for him. You know?
Yes, your moral compass. Are you going to sit there and write in someone's name who you know is going to finance the bombing of children just because they might do it less than the other one? Come on.
Yeah, man, that's a good way of saying it. Do you want to fund someone? Trump has told you directly. He goes, we must nuke Iran. We must, you know, finish the job. Finish the job. Even Kamala Harris, which I don't support.
They both are like, let's hit their nuclear facilities. Let me explain how that won't work. Well, I guess Ritter and I did that last show. That wouldn't even work anyway.
Yeah.
The stuff's underground. All you do is cosmetic damage, and then there'd be a huge retaliation on Israel, which makes me think, yeah, you know what? Go ahead, do it. Because I don't see a way out of these psychopaths other than them to get some comeuppance. There is no way to reason with them. They don't have a shred of compassion or empathy. They're exterminating Palestinians. So go ahead, hit Iran, see what happens.
Well, Ryan, if you put it from their standpoint, go back to real estate. Genocide is a way to make money, no money down. They're looking, okay, we're going to get $100 billion. So if I were to draw the systems diagram on this, the Zionists, you know, buy Congress. Congress delivers them so far around 10 or $100 billion. They use that to go bomb the shit out of, commit genocide, acquire land, right? So from their view, we put $100 billion in and we got $2 trillion back. And we have their underground bunkers, which we can live there for 2 to 3 years. Who the fuck do we care about these people? They have backup plans. So everyone needs to understand, for them, this is a return on investment model. Genocide is not even in there. They don't fucking care. They look at the word genocide and they just flick it, right? It doesn't matter to them.
Look at the Vietnam War. They were dropping munitions on Laos and Cambodia, where no one even lived, just because it cost X amount to unload and then buy new stuff. So it wasn't even hatred. It was just pure indifference. So like, how much does this cost? All right.
Yeah.
They'll go out and dump fuel in the ocean just so they can get more to refuel so that their budget's larger so they can get more money the next year.
Yeah. Crap in the like model that. Of global capitalism and imperialism, it's fascinating that if you look at that cost of living chart I have going up, and one really starts understanding that most economic crises are caused by overproduction. That's when they occur, when they overproduce. People think it's deficiency. The elites overproduce, so they overproduce rice. In India, they overproduce rice. They tell the farmers not to distribute it, to hold it, and to use it for making liquor to keep all the people drunk, okay? In all these societies, it's overproduction. Capitalism, in reality, Ryan, we could have heaven on earth right now. We know how to produce so much shit for pennies. When I was last in India, I met this
mercantilism too. It's capitalism through the state, or state capitalism.
Right. So that's Russia. China's state capitalism. Okay. Mm-hmm. The U.S. acts like it's free market capitalism, but they're outsourcing public infrastructure to people like Elon Musk. Just 2 weeks ago, the government gave Musk a $2 billion contract, the Pentagon, to have Starlink do all sorts of surveillance. But we can't sue the government for that. Once it's in a private company, they have First Amendment rights. So China is at least very straightforward, right? We're one, we're authoritarian, we're state capitalist. The U.S. gives an illusion of there's a government and there's a capitalist here. But they do it, but they launder all of their censorship, all of their
surveillance. It's still government if it's paid for with government grants.
Exactly.
That's like the private prisons. They're not private because where is the revenue for the prison coming from? The state. Okay. It's still part of the state.
Right. So I would say, Ryan, is if on many issues, I don't know if you want to go over, I have to go to this meeting shortly in about 10 minutes, but we can continue it, follow up. But I think the bottom line is, if you take any of these issues and you go down them, as you said, there's a checklist. Not only do I fulfill all those issues, but deeper than that, we want to raise people's consciousness to build, as this guy Josh wrote up, a bottoms-up movement. That's mm-hmm. the only way, and that bottoms-up movement involves people raising their consciousness, independent media, like what you're doing and others are doing, right? It's supporting all of that and recognizing that when people, enough people, it's about 3 to 5%, understand these concepts of the not-so-obvious establishment, and we start calling them out way ahead, it's over for them. We got to keep chopping, decapitating their heads very quickly. The next Kennedy that comes down, he doesn't even get 9 months. He's gone in 1 month. The next Jill Stein, she's gone in a few weeks.
Right, incremental chip away at it. That's the
exactly.
Way. So this overnight solution. All right, we all voted in. So Dr. Paul or whoever, you're going to have to chip away at the media and start exposing these people faster, make them fall on their face faster. I watched a lot of people just go around just nosedive, you know.
I think the only way to do it now, if you follow from a technology standpoint all the way through, ultimately, the amount of, we always think technology is going to liberate us, but whenever technology comes, and the better it is, the more it's used to consolidate power. Social media now is all those views and clicks are being monitored by Palantir. They watch which way the school of fish are starting to move, and then they get one of these not so obvious establishment people to mimic our words. And that's what Elon Musk is doing now. That's what Jill Stein is doing. That's what Booby fucking Kennedy did. They used to come to our meetings, literally, Ryan, come to our Zoom meetings. The next day, Kennedy will take word for word the speech I delivered in our backroom meetings and make a video out of it. So you have to understand, they know that Zionist cocksucker hit. It just came out naturally. And the next day, you had people talking Zionist cocksucker. But here's the thing to all you people who talk about not sucking Zionist
cocksucker. Hey, I was saying that before it was cool.
Yeah, but my point is,
those people are saying
that, Ryan, now, and putting up pictures of dead babies, you should be fucking supporting our campaign, not without the illusion to support the building of a movement. It's one thing to just put up dead babies all day. And if you do,
well, where is the anti-Zionist candidate? You know, who that it can't just be people outside yelling at buildings. You got to start to organize and, I don't know, maybe win in local government or something and start gaining power. But we don't have a lot of anti-Zionists in the Congress, none in the presidency.
But there's not any anti-Zionist candidate.
Nothing.
Who is fully principled and who won't associate with any Zionist person, okay? They come almost there, and then they fuck you over, okay?
They take that money from them, right?
So
Aptom says, any chance you could sell the Stop Israel shirt? I can't walk around with fuck on my clothes. Shiva for King. I sell both. I have End All Aid to Israel. I have Fuck Israel like I'm wearing today. And let's see. And Boycott Israel. So if you can get End All Aid or Boycott, we have those. If you want the red triangle shirt. Yeah, I made the Fuck Israel because I know it's very abrasive and you're walking around with a cuss word, but I don't care. Fuck them, man. I can't. How many dead children do you have to see where you just cross that line and are like, okay, I'm just going to wear Fuck Israel on my chest. That's why I do it, but I get it. We have all versions if that's what you want.
This Ryan, as we close, I want to let people know, to the extent that I go off on these people and you go off on these people, we actually have real solutions too. Okay. It's very important for people to understand. You have to viciously expose these people. And that's a very, very, it's a dirty job, but it's got to get done. But the other part of this is actual solutions. People may know that where our food comes from, the actual source and how it's sourced and how it ends up on your table is very important to your actual health. When we say Truth, Food, and Health, our movement. So in 2013, I was asked to create a global certification for food, clean food, a bottoms-up certification, not done by the government. We brought in stakeholders, customers, and we ended up creating what's called a clean food seal. People can find that. It's called Clean Food Certified. If you go to, it's a very high standard. The food has to be non-GMO. We look at the chemicals. We look at how it was processed. And that's called a clean food seal. So there's
they have a lot of that in Japan.
Yeah. So if you know people in Japan, this is the highest standard. But the key thing is that seal, Ryan, it's not owned by the government. The standards committee is we the people. And anyone can come to our public hearings and offer, be part of the standards. It's a ISO 9001, you know, ANSI type standard that we've created. So that's a solution. Because when you see that seal, and if I can just share this, Ryan, I have a couple of slides up here because I want to get a little bit practical with people also so they can understand that. Our movement actually has, I think I can share my entire screen here. Yeah. So let me share my entire screen here. The message is cost of living is going up, lifespan's going down. Okay. They're killing you. Now, the way this has occurred, Ryan, is through these systems of stress. The policies that people have passed have affected your body. That's me as a MIT PhD systems biologists telling you that. The policies affected your biology. So they've destroyed our immune systems. The environment, it's very difficult to get healthy foods. The science that they teach people is reductionism. Kids don't learn system science. People don't know how to solve problems. The government and systems are corrupt. People don't even know how to save money. Well, every one of these, Ryan, I've created solutions. Everyone knows in 2020, you know, we did, I must have done 50, 60, 100 videos teaching people how the immune system works, telling people to take D3 and quercetin and zinc. And we did videos on that. I never made a penny off that, Ryan. Others took our formulations and did it. But we must have saved a couple hundred million people's lives. It's about boosting the immune system, okay? And in every one of these, we taught people strengthen your immune system. We teach people how to eat locally on a healthy budget. We have our entire program for kids free, which is to teach people the same system science that young people learn. We have an organization called Innovation Corps, free. We teach people how to innovate. Our Leadership Institute, free. People learn how to become leaders. But at the heart of it, so everyone should go to Truth Freedom Health and become part of this. But from a food as medicine standpoint, Ryan, there's a solution. I've very quietly done this, Ryan.
This is what my great-grandparents said all the time.
Food is medicine, but we've made it real. There's an actual seal. There are companies out there, mom and pop companies, that, and we put this seal together, Ryan. We as a people own the seal, not the USDA. The other thing is there's 10 to the power of 36 different compounds in nature. Pharmaceutical companies have 60,000 compounds. Well, with my PhD work, we created a platform that can look at all those compounds in nature, identify compounds. Now, I went and did a fucking product, not to sell it, because we do sell it, but I wanted to show people that you can use this platform to develop your own medicines, and we've open sourced it. And then we teach people that medicine is not one medicine for everyone. It's about the right medicine for the right person at the right time.
Yeah, it's not one size fits all.
So we took Eastern medicine, which my grandmother did, Western system science, and I've created a program called Systems Health. And we train people. They learn how to become community doctors in a completely different way. So these are solutions that we don't need the fucking establishment for. So whether they do the right thing or not, Ryan, we have a way to determine what is clean food. We have a way to look at nature and figure out how to build medicines, and we can teach others to do it. So we are creating fighters and scientists and health educators. So I want to let people know that
I see CLEAN is an acronym there, to CLEAN.
Conscious, living, ethical, active, and nutritious. Okay. But this has been, so when you look at someone like me, and you, I implore all of you guys to go study my journey and compare that to any of these fucking people. This is not a grift. It's not a fucking grift. And that's why
I can't imagine Kamala Harris with diagrams trying to explain biochemistry.
She can't, man. She cannot. No. And right now, Ryan, in New Zealand, they're trying to bring in GMOs. What most people know, in 2012 and 13, I wrote a series of five scientific peer-reviewed papers, which expose that when you insert the gene into a soy plant, by the way, soy is the most engineered, 99% of the soy in the world is genetically modified. It down-regulates glutathione, which is the most important antioxidant. So now we're
saying vegetable oil is all from soy.
It's all crap, right? Yeah. So I want to let people know you're looking at someone who's like the founders of this country, actually works every day. I'm not, you know, right after this, Ryan, I got to run our volunteer meeting. Then I got to go write a paper, and I'm working with our New Zealand team to organize them to fight the GMO issue. So you're looking at someone who gets his hands fucking dirty. So if you have respect for yourself, you got to fucking vote for Dr. Shiva, our campaign. But it's about you breaking from the shit, letting go of the fucking titty, you know, letting your mouth, you know, gently go off the Zionist cock you've been sucking directly or indirectly. That's what you're actually doing. So you have to have respect for yourself. If you're 50, 40, 30, whatever years you are, you know, meanwhile, live for another 70, 80 years. Okay. The elites want to create a world where it's about a half a billion people and they have robots and they're creating an Elysium for them. Well, we have about 8 billion people. My vision is those 8 billion people are smart.
And that's dark.
Huh?
You're right. They just want to wipe out the plebs.
I'm saying two
replace you with machines. No, in the future.
No, but I'm saying two realities are possible. Yeah. Some people have to, oh my God, we're only headed to that. My view is someone who is had to always do the impossible, Ryan, always in my life. as a low caste Indian, my parents were never supposed to make it here, right? When I was 14, they said, oh, why are you going to create email? No one's going to use it, right? You're never going to get on the ballot. You can't run for office. Well, we have a case now in the U.S. Supreme Court, which is challenging this issue. And I just want to share this with you, Ryan. Our movement inspires people. We have our volunteers now in federal court. We're teaching them how to argue federal cases, Ryan. That's what we're doing. We have a guy, you know, the same guy who got arrested, Nicholas Lupo, we taught him how to file a federal lawsuit. So let me just tell you, I've never filed a Supreme Court case. No fucking Zionist cocksucking lawyer wanted to help us. So I had to spend the last 3 weeks, Ryan, while running my campaign, while trying to keep my businesses operational. And let me just show this to you. And I'm pretty proud of this because I'll bring it up here. This is my, you know, there's only probably around 50 or 100 people in the world who can write a Supreme Court lawsuit.
They try to intimidate you with the legalese stuff. But from what I saw, when I watched the Kyle Rittenhouse trial or the Glenn Maxwell trial, and they spent all this money on these fancy lawyers, and they're morons.
You can't. They just intimidate lawyers, man. You have to. So this is a Supreme Court, what's called a writ of petition. So in New Jersey, when they threw me off the ballot, we're challenging this all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. This was 4 weeks. It was another PhD thesis, Ryan. But I never fucking did this, man. So it was very intimidating, but I just trudged through this. But I want to just read people the first page of the lawsuit, because you have to write it in 9,000 words. You have to saddle stitch it, 40 copies. And our volunteers helped us do that. No fucking lawyers. This lawsuit would have cost us $2 million, $3 million. So let me read the first page of the lawsuit. It says, for the first time in the history of the United States, a state silenced a presidential candidate. This is New Jersey, by the way. Running is a key thing. Running for the office of president, whose message spoke to the inequity of the natural born clause, natural born qualification, a requirement for holding the office of president that flouts, that means attacks equal protection to make second class citizens of 25 million Americans. The New Jersey Secretary of State, by the way, they got a call from Kamala Harris to do that, prematurely adjudicated and enforced the qualification to remove Dr. Shiva from the ballot, though he met every statutory requirement. What does that mean? Our electors got on the state. They met every requirement. Holding the office is where natural born comes in. And only Congress can decide that. The Supreme Court of New Jersey, by denying his motion for emergent review, condoned the state's gross violation of his First and 14th Amendment rights and held states possess authority. States don't have any fucking authority over federal officers, okay? Regardless of congressional authorization to determine that a presidential candidate is disqualified from running for the office under the Natural Born Clause. Ironically, the effort to remove Dr. Shiva from the ballot was initiated by the New Jersey Democratic State Committee, whose candidate, Kamala Harris, benefits immensely from the same equal protection. It's the 14th Amendment and the 19th Amendment that allow Kamala Harris to even run for president, which she denied to me. And then we end by saying now a chaotic state-by-state patchwork. What do we mean by that? Well, in some states, I'm on the ballot listed, and other states, I'm not listed. So that's where we're going right in. That's what the founders did not want at the federal level. Now exists with some states keeping him on the ballot and others disqualifying him. The questions presented here. So in the Supreme Court, it's very difficult. I mean, the fact that we got the writ in is historic. So the chance that the Supreme Court will accept this lawsuit is 1%, 1 out of 100. So the questions we're presenting is not the state's premature adjudication of qualifications of president unconstitutional? The reality is, Ryan, an insurrectionist can run for president, which is what they said Trump was, okay? The issue is Congress will decide after he gets elected.
The strength of this argument is what you said there. Like, natural born is not determined by a state committee for a party, but by the Congress.
Exactly. So and natural
they born can't just declare that. I mean, maybe right. The Congress will end up saying that anyway, but that's who gets to do it.
Well, here's the deal. Imagine if I get 300 electoral votes, and do you think Congress, which is the representative body, is going to say, oh, shit, Dr. Shiva got, he's a winner, and he's natural born. We never define fucking natural born. The Marquis de Lafayette, who was a French-born citizen, was made natural born. And by the way, Ryan, if you go to Africa right now and adopt, you know, 100 kids and you bring those kids to the United States, you know they're natural born and they can run for president. Did you know that?
I didn't. I know you get a year without income tax every time you adopt somebody.
No. Natural born is not about being born on the soil.
Oh, I know. I know.
It is a word that was created by the British Empire. So when they went all over the world and banged and raped women and children, they could decide which of their heirs would be natural born still and still have the rights to have all the rights as a British citizen. Natural born.
That's what we said. We had the phrase naturalized citizen.
Exactly. Because
of assimilation. And a naturalized citizen is a natural born. That's what it. So, I mean, people who are born in the United States automatically qualify, but you can have naturalization process. That's why it's called that.
So that's why the last question is important. Does natural born violate equal protection, making 25 million American second class citizens? So, Ryan, by the way, this page, I think I must have done 300 rewrites. You know, it's not I'm a brilliant writer. I work my fucking ass off. Okay. So I just want to let people know that everything you're seeing here, you know, Trump has a team of lawyers. Kamala Harris has a team of lawyers. New Jersey has 2,020 lawyers that we're going against. So I want to inspire people. What we can do, the 8 billion of us, when we get our shit to fucking together, people need to get off their ass and break from this titty. Trump has never worked a day in his life. Kamala Harris has never worked a day in their lives. I've worked every fucking day since I've been 12 years old, Ryan. And so have you. And so have all of you listening. So have fucking respect for yourselves. Stop sucking Zionist cock. The anti-Zionist candidate here, the true American is here. I'm the fucking true American, not fucking Trump. You should see what he just did at that Miriam Adelson thing. They're playing Lee Greenwood song, you know, Back to America. And he's fucking got fucking a Israel. You're fucking, these fuckers are misleading the American people. They're playing the a song about America and bringing them right into sucking Zionist cock. And if that's the kind of American you want to be, you have to realize that they've dumbed you down to make you a fucking Zionist cocksucker. And that's what this is about. This election is about, do you want to be an American or do you want to be a fucking slave?
They Trump sit there and argue about who's more pro-Israel.
One second, Ryan. Trump and Kamala Harris, they're all fucking house slaves. They're fucking house slaves. As Malcolm X said, when the building was burning down for the master, the house slave would be running around, oh my God, master's house is burning down. The field slaves who are off the plantation, they're like, fucking burn it down. And you got to
use a different word. But some level.
You have to have a righteous anger. And when I was growing up, even as a young kid, Ryan, when I used to hear about the peasants in India were burning down the feudal lords, I was getting excited. My dad's friend said, oh, you're a communist and your son will not get angry. When I came to the United States, and even at 60 years old now, Ryan, my anger is worse. It's not like I've sold out, but I've learned how to organize people. I've learned how to write. I've learned how to file lawsuits. I've learned engineering. I've learned an immense set of skills, and I'm giving those skills to our volunteers. So if you want to learn how to fucking fight and be a fucking human being, then come to this movement. And you better fucking write and vote us in. Because if you vote for any of those guys, you're betraying yourself. You're a fucking house nigga. You're a house slave. You really are. And if that's what you want to be, black, white, house slave, yellow, fucking go be it. But don't come to our fucking movement. Don't fucking vote for me. We are organizing those people with a high degree of consciousness, and I don't care what fucking vocation you are, to shatter the swarm. And that's what needs to be done. So to the extent I ran for president, I'm running for president, it's for you guys. It's not for me. And so save your fucking self. That's it, Ryan. So
there you go. Vote for Shiva. Don't be a house nigger.
That's it. And by the way, I was on a podcast with this black house slave, a woman. And she was trying to do a gotcha interview. Shabby Sabs is her name. Shabby. And she
Shabos Goy, what? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she should have said that she's sucking Jill Stein's pussy, okay? Because that's what she's doing. Then she tried to do a gotcha interview. Oh, Dr. Shiva, what do you think about reparations? And I go, well, I said, if there's going to be reparations, and she cut me off. I said, you need to talk about infrastructure, reparations for all, cut me off. And she goes, well, you can't interrupt me. Ended up becoming this stupid back and forth thing. And I said, you can throw me off your show. I don't give a fuck. I said, I don't need to be on your plantation. So we left.
If you ask me a question and I start to answer and then you cut me off and then I cut you back off, I'm not interrupting you.
Not only that, right? She said,
to answer it yourself.
She goes, you may know science, but I know reparations. Like, fuck you, you idiot. So
reparations for what?
Exactly.
Right, you can start with the Africans as soldiers.
Exactly. So where do you start reparations? What about my great-grandfather was taken as an indentured servant? What about the Irish, how they were treated? Where the fuck does reparations start? Well, if you want reparations, then let's give reparations to every fucking slave right now, because we're all house niggas on the white liberal plantation or the multiracial liberal plantation. So we have to accept that. And by the way, the word nigga is not owned by black people. All right? It's not owned. I will fucking use that word. Malcolm X is not owned by black people. We need to understand that. We all need to understand we're still all niggas on their fucking plantation until we raise our consciousness. So don't tell me what the fuck word I can use. I will fucking use that word. And the bottom line is my skin is darker than a lot of black people who came out and they said that I'm a piece of shit, an Indian Pajit, racist shit, because I was exposing this fucking shabby house slave. And so you have a lot of black house slaves who are sucking Jill Stein's cock right now, because Jill Stein is dangling reparations in front of them. So if you're one of those fucking people, go read Malcolm X again. Malcolm X talked about how the American Negro is used as a football. And the white liberals are the ones who really abuse you.
The wolf and the fox.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, in the way, you know, and people are like, oh, don't teach Malcolm to us. You just learned about him.
He had some views in Israel.
I learned about Malcolm X when I was 14 years old. I had a great public school history teacher who was my baseball coach. And I got A's in all the exams, everything. And he said, I don't give A's to anyone unless you do an extra credit report.
And that's extra stupid to say you can't teach so-and-so to us. Like, you have to be of this biological category or you're not allowed to know this thing. Fuck off, man. Like,
fuck off. Because we live in an age right now that there's a multiracial aristocracy of people abuses. Okay. Oprah Winfrey's black. She doesn't give a fuck about, you know, you're a black, white, red, yellow, slave. She doesn't give a fuck about you. Neither does Obama. Obama talks about the climate change scam, but he bought a beautiful property right on Martha's Vineyard. Okay. That's not
now, that was the point Andrew Tate made one time. He goes, when a black billionaire and a white millionaire and an Asian millionaire, billionaire, whatever they meet. So do you think they sit around and talk about racial grievances? No.
No.
But I'm saying
if we want to talk about reparations, it's reparations for all people. All people. All of us slaves. And the only way we're going to get real reparations is to shatter the swarm and raise your consciousness. But the reparations argument for one race of people is what the white Zionists are doing. The white Zionists always take over civil rights movements. It was a white Zionist who funded Martin Luther King. Okay? So the Zionists always take over the anti-war movements. They take over the medical freedom movements. They take over the environmental movements. And they whack-a-doodle it, not to discuss the substantive issues which unite us, but to have black people, when I expose a house slave, attacking me, who suffered
massive racism. They always introduce identitarian nonsense to as saboteurs, subversion, exactly. You could say.
Exactly. So
every time.
Anyway, Ryan, I think we've shared a lot.
I know you had a meeting. I think, hey, tell everybody the website again. You had a slide up there, Truth Freedom.
Yeah, so I'm going to give people a couple of action steps, right? Number one, this is to raise consciences. Go to Shatter the Swarm, gather your fucking family like you're around the fire and watch that video, 15 minutes. It will illuminate you. When you're at Shatter the Swarm, free course for everyone. Sign up to get off the plantation. Go through these videos. They're nice little diagrams, complex information. But right now, everyone, you have to vote or write in Dr. Shiva. And you can also take an action, Ryan, if you go to Shiva for President, so shatterthesworm.com, truthfreedomhealth.com, and Shiva for President. Let me just share this. If you go to Shiva for President, you guys can help right now. In addition to voting, you guys can go do something on your own, on the ground. The future is offline. The future is not on these online platforms. I almost want to go back to paper, Ryan, you know? So, which we are already doing.
Yeah.
But if you go to this free downloads, you can print this. Go to your local printer. This is a 3.5 inch, 2x3 inch card. The front of it says "Save Yourself," and the back of it is this. If you're lazy or you don't have resources and you want to put a little bit of money in, go to the shop. We don't make any money off of this. We send it to a wonderful printer, one of our volunteers who's giving us cost rates. 10,000 cards, $175. You print them. Shipping is included to your door. Get these cards out everywhere. And what we're doing is the goal is to raise people's consciousness, Ryan. That's what this is about. And if we get 3 to 5% of people calling out these people, they're fucked. They're totally fucked. And if you want to end the genocide in Gaza, you got to vote for Dr. Shiva, even as a protest vote, even as a fuck you vote. But more importantly, Ryan, if we were to get into the White House, what's the first thing I would do? No military to Israel, but we would send the U.S. military and weapons to the Palestinian people. That's something very tangible. And we would make sure that all of these Congress people, we would have the Department of Justice start indicting people for traitors. We would start that process.
Yeah, treason.
These are these people Brian are not Mass. Fighting for the interests of the... So which other presidential candidate is saying end the occupation here? Jill fucking Stein, oh, well, we should do a little ceasefire. We need to stop the bombs. Little fucking bullshit, you know? We need to go at the heart of the issue. America,
you go back to Jewish and die in your concentration camp and quit being so uppity. Why don't you be a more passive victim? That is just, it's unbelievable.
Ryan, I
every right to resist being occupied by a bunch of murdering psychopaths.
Ryan, I know your network with Ritter, Scott, you know, Tate's, let them know that to the extent that they are against Zionism and to the extent I know that they have been attacked by these Zionist forces, you know, I am supportive of their fights.
They just raided Ritter's house again.
Yeah. So I, you know, many people reached out to Ritter, many people reached out to Tate to say, give Dr. Shiva visibility on your platforms. So I ask you guys, if you're listening, Scott, many of my followers follow you, but they're really, really a little bit concerned why you and I haven't spoken. Same with the Tate guys, you know, because it's time that men actually take a fucking position. I am running for president, a bona fide fucking candidate. We're on the ballot. You don't have an excuse not to support me, period. So, Ryan, get them to give us some visibility.
Okay, they're both they're highly sought after people. I know Ritter's scheduled like one interview after another.
That's all good. So am I. But they need to get off their butt because timeliness matters. Because you have actually a candidate and they're bemoaning, oh, we don't know who to vote for. Well, like you said, they need to make a decision. Otherwise, it's hard for us to take them that seriously. But anyway, we're giving them a shot.
Yeah, well, they may. It's hard for me to get them too. But like,
I know.
I think, yeah, why not try and get it? The more reach, the better. Yeah. And I'm so happy, even if they all did their own thing, if I never interviewed them again or whatever, it's still, yeah, we need more people out there speaking truth to power because they defamed Scott Ritter and they've defamed both the Tate brothers too with utter bullshit. And I'm constantly having to go, no, that ain't what happened. This is what happened.
Well,
they
time
do that
forces,
to they try and least, ruin your reputation.
Well, at least, Ryan, those forces need to at least have a united coalition. Okay. At minimum, if we're doing this.
Yeah. So, it's more organization, Ryan. The better. Hey, get you a meeting. Thanks for your time. I'll have you back on.
Okay, be well, Ryan. Best to you and your family.
Zionism.
And I know it's getting late. Okay. Best to
everybody
you.
Everybody go watch Shatter to Swarm. It's like 10, 15 minutes. Gather around the fire. That was Dr. Shiva. I'm going to have a solo on.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They've printed trillions for their friends. They've delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption, and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food, and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message. Paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. And the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.